This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 390, recorded October 29th, 2014. I'm your host, Brian Kilby. With me this week, we have Chris, a.k.a. XV, Diecast, Don, and Melvar. And this is our Halloween episode, and as Melvar just pointed out, Diecast is not dressed as the porno Robin.
It's okay. We can just pretend this year he's dressed as, like, a serial killer suspect or something.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I had an awesome shirt that I got at the show from The Chosen Prime, and it's actually one of my only clean shirts right now since my wife didn't do laundry, so I'm wearing this instead.
The Chosen Prime had a really nice booth.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
At BotCon, they had the same setup at BotCon, but it was a little bit bigger, and I would love to have that shelving that they've got for displays and stuff, because it was a gorgeous display.
Yeah, I just wanted to stand there and stare. It was awesome.
It wasn't that nice. It was nice, but I mean, I wouldn't stand there and stare at it.
Well, I was staring at some of the stuff they had inside.
Oh, yeah, that. You know, so. I wouldn't stare at the, you know, I mean, it looks like there were some vinyl printed logos that they just plopped on the side of a nice shelf. I mean, it's not like
I meant the display as a whole.
I know. It's pretty nice. So, let's see here. On the show this week, we're going to wrap up some TFCon stuff. We've got some news. Rob Springer's not here, so no Q&A, which I don't know that... We have questions. I don't know that we get answers out of those, but let's see here. we have a live segment from TFCon, which I think the bulk of the show probably will be that, and a couple other things. A few things I want to remind everyone of. So, our 15th anniversary episode was 2 weeks ago, which normally means there's one episode in between this one and that one, but now there's two. Because of the unauthorized podcast, which is now officially
389,
which is officially 389. It's no longer unauthorized. It's now an authorized episode of RFC. So we kind of had two episodes last week. XV and company.
It was cool, though. Mine was better.
It was. Did a great job putting this together. mine was, like, thrown together at last minute. I'm like, I'm going to put a show out this week. And the next day, we had another show. But if you haven't already, check out our 15th anniversary episode. It's episode 387. It's great. We have interviews. We have a new podcast embedded within Transformers 101. A lot of great stuff in that. And go check it out. I'm just saying that because people have not downloaded it as much as they should have, because it's our freaking 15th anniversary show. It's like a normal
episode. It might also have to do with that it's like 2.5 hours long. It might be a little intimidating.
Shut up. Nobody wants to hear that.
No, but my point is that even though it looks like it's so long, it's like packed full of like solid quality content.
Exactly.
And you should make the time to listen to it, even if you gotta do it in like two or three chunks.
This kid is brilliant. Listen to him.
I mean, you should give me a chance to finish before you start yelling at me, Kilby.
Shut up. Hey, we were able to sell some of JD stuff this past weekend at TFCon, even though we weren't supposed to bring any of the stuff, but we did, and we sold quite a bit, so that's really good. So we still have to go in and update our list of items for sale, because we have quite a few things to remove and update, and that will be, oh god, I'll try to get to that this week. And I will post an update to Facebook and Twitter when that's out there. And many thanks to Brad Russell for hosting JD Stuff this weekend at his table. He was a total stand-up dude for doing that, and he's a great human being. Yeah. So, Brad, thank you very much.
Yeah, Brad. I've known Brad since I think Brad's first BotCon was 2004, which I would have met him in 2005. And I have never heard anybody say one bad thing about Brad. He is just a stellar guy. He gave us as much space as he could from his booth to sell JD's stuff, and it was awesome. So thank you.
Thanks to TF Marketplace. Is that marketplace.tf or tfmarketplace.com? I think it's tfmarketplace.com. The guy there, I don't remember his name.
Yeah,
he ended up buying a bunch of JD stuff in bulk.
Matthew.
So thank you very much for doing that. That was awesome. We appreciate it. And JD's wife, Amanda, appreciates it as well.
Yes.
And, of course, also I want to mention, like us on Facebook, Twitter. Give us a thumbs up. Share this episode because we really need that. It helps us out. We do this podcast for you, the fans, for free. And it helps us if you share. So please do that. iTunes, reviews, all that helps. Like, it really helps. Like, if we get a couple of reviews on iTunes, I can tell that we get a huge lift just from, like, a review or two. And Reddit as well. So, want to get
that
out there.
Because if you don't review us and like us, Kilby will send us a chicken.
Donnie Boo, what's the matter
with you? What's the matter with you?
You don't act like the other Donnies do. So, okay, so...
I hate Chicken Boo.
And you hate being called Donnie as well, I found out.
Yes, I know.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I apologize.
Who wouldn't hate being called Donnie? That's horrible.
I'm so sorry, Don.
Okay. They called Donatello Donnie.
That's true, and he's awesome.
I'm not a mutant turtle.
I wouldn't even call Don Donnie. Donnie.
I'm not a mutant turtle. I am an Adonis.
I'm a man, damn it. I'm a man.
All the things I say to and about Don, and the one thing I would not ever do is call him Donnie.
I am
until
a man.
Now.
Don hates Chicken Boo. Yeah. That was a point of conversation more than once this past weekend. Interesting.
And me chasing a chicken with a broom.
That actually happened.
Yes.
That happened.
Okay. I'm helping.
Chicken broom, you and Don go get a room.
So, this week in history, back in 1986, on Halloween, the Transformers episode Nightmare Planet debuted. I had to do something Halloween, so.
That's cool.
Well, that episode is pretty well remembered just for the simple fact of Springer riding Razorclaw in a joust against a giant dragon. I mean,
yep.
If you bring up that episode, that's what everybody remembers is that one scene.
That's about all I remember. I remember the scene, which is actually pictured right here, of Daniel in bed. That's pretty much what I remember.
Creepy.
I know. So that happened in 1986, so that was 28 years ago? Yeah.
Shh.
28 years ago. So, what TFCon reminds me of, more than anything else, we're old. I can't tell you how many... People, this is no offense to anybody because we're all getting there. How many, you know, back in the day, we, you know, as a fat guy, I'll even say this, used to walk around, look at all the fat people or look at all the nerds. Now it's like, look at all the middle-aged dudes. It's like, we've become the G.I. Joe fandom. I don't like that.
Except unlike the G.I. Joe fandom, we are at least getting renewal.
Yes. Yes.
So, I mean, there are... those of us of advancing years that are still hanging on, but there is still an influx of fresh fans and, you know, younger and yeah, Kilby, you're losing a lot of hair up there, but,
that. God, I mean, I'm old, you know, like I don't think of myself as that old, but my God, I'm old. There's lots of guys with obviously there are tons of bald people, lots of bald guys in blue shirts walking around this past weekend. But like we're aging and it makes me sad.
Dude, I got gray hairs.
I have a couple.
No. Well, it's even worse for me, Brian, because I hear all these people say, like, yeah, I learned about this, you know, this Generation 2 stuff. I had to go back and buy it. Or I learned about this series. It's like, I was there when it was on the shelves. I didn't have to go back and buy it. I bought it off the shelves. It's like, don't talk to me about being old and stuff that you had to go back and learn about and go back
you
and
know-
buy.
You know what really gets me is, like, hearing people who say that, like, Armada or even Energon was their first Transformers series.
Other than feeling old, I feel sorry for those people.
Well, especially the people who came in on Energon. But, of course, with
how
Energon,
are they still
they,
fans? I
mean, with Energon, they only had up to go, so...
G1, guys. Well, gotta look at context. G1, we loved it. But it wasn't great.
Well, that's it, Mel. You know, that's it, Mel Barfay. Started with Armada... and Energon and Cybertron, they had nowhere to go but up. I mean, really, if you look at it. If they started with R.I.D., it was all downhill from there after R.I.D., but that's
I wouldn't say it's going straight up because you have that high with Animated, then you have Prime.
Well, except like
Prime was great.
Prime was okay in the first season. The second season was kind of hard to get through, but season three was really strong.
Yeah,
so if you could hold, if you held out for that in Predacons Rising, I mean,
I'm just
the show
Don grief.
Off.
Giving
I
Don
know.
Grief.
I know. Yeah. I mean, if they would have like taken the lesson from Predacons Rising and like taken the kids out in season two, it probably would have been a lot better.
It would have been a lot better. That was my favorite part of Predacons Rising.
Yeah. There was episodes where the kids were worth their while being in it. But there was more episodes where they weren't worth anything. So
now I've said this before, and in all seriousness, two episodes that I like among the best out of all of Transformers Prime are Miko focused episodes, and both were written at least in part by Margaret Scott because she got Miko and what she should be in the show. You know, it was the episode where Miko and Wheeljack go hunting the Insecticon that hurt Bulkhead, and then the one in season three where Miko wears the Apex armor, and
that was the one I was thinking of. Yeah,
yeah. But I mean, those were, you know, two really strong episodes and the best use of Miko in the entire series.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, and I'll,
you know, I give Don a hard time, but with the right writing behind them, the kids had their worth.
And I'm just going to say this as a quick tangent without getting off on it. In Robots in Disguise coming up next year, I hope they tell us exactly how far in advance after Prime ends. I can understand them leaving it ambiguous as far as not placing it in a certain time frame, but if it's within the lifespan of the kids...
I hope it's not.
I would like to see at least what happened to them after Prime. Just because, as characters, they deserve some sense of closure.
No, they don't.
Since they were complete from a writing standpoint, I think they do.
Did I ever get closure on Kicker?
No.
Did you?
So
want
you don't get
on
closure
Kicker.
On any of your guys.
What about Daniel?
Did you want closure
Spark
on
plug?
Kicker?
Yeah, Spark Plug. I mean, we got no closure at Spark Plug. Don, let it go. You know what? Great writers don't give closure. Okay, so
and we did get closure on Daniel. Him and Wheelie died fighting the Nightbirds.
Oh,
yeah,
the BotCon comic.
The BotCon.
Okay, I'm thinking Headmasters.
Which probably made a lot of people happy.
I hated that. That was Tengu wrote that, didn't he?
I think.
Yeah, I love him, but man, that hurts.
Like, it kind of had to be Tengu because of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Nightbirds also.
I love Rob, but my God, I like Wheelie. I really, really do. I have to admit, I really do.
No, but I mean, that was just kind of like the thing he does where, you know, he like completely harpoons stuff. People get hung up on like Nightbirds and Daniel and Wheelie and et cetera.
Hey, Rob, you're an awesome dude, but man. I love Wheelie. I hate that. Okay, so let's see here. Really quickly, want to run through a couple of things from TFCon. We have a lot of pre-recorded content that's going into the show. But one, we got to meet lots of fans. That was really surprising how many people actually listen. It's gratifying, but it's surprising that so many people listen.
Oh, yeah.
So it was really great to meet guys like I don't even want to go into all their names, but we spent quite a bit of time with Ryan. He was cool, and I wrote other people's names down and I can't find it.
I remember people's like
screen name,
Twitter names. So there was Fear Corps, and there was like
Dumpster
Dave or
Jay.
Yeah.
That was Justin, yeah. A lot of people. Yeah, Fear Corps, we met Fear Corps. A lot of people, you know, and I'll say this. So a lot of fellow podcasters, and I learned that Transformers podcasters aren't in existence to drive me crazy. They're real human beings, and they add value to the fandom. So everybody here knows that I'm like hyper competitive, like just a little bit. But it was awesome, like, meeting other Transformers podcasters and getting to know them as people, like Jeremy and company from Transmissions, all the Shattered Cast Uncut guys. Even met a couple people that I didn't know from WTF at TFW. And I might have met some people from the TwinCast podcast. The only person I can actually ever remember who's on that show, though, is John. I did get to see John, though. John's an awesome dude. But yeah, so a lot of people listen to the show, or a lot of people at least know of the show, or it kind of holds an interesting place in the fandom because we're the first, and I don't want to say most popular, but probably at least one of. And so a lot of people, you know, there are things that people think they know or know. Like, one thing I found out, somebody overheard and alerted me to a conversation about the show, saying apparently the guy who started RFC is no longer with it anymore, and they don't even know why he keeps they keep the name RFC. And I'm like, I don't remember being replaced mid-series. It's like... So I kind of slyly walked up and introduced myself and just started talking. And it's like, hey, you know, hey, I'm Brian Kilby. I'm host of Radio Free Cybertron. I just had my 15th anniversary show this past week. I mean, can't believe I've been doing this for 15 years. That was totally obvious what happened to those folks, but it was still kind of cool. But yeah, a lot of people knew, obviously, even if they didn't listen or they listened occasionally. So pretty stoked about that. Really gratifying knowing that people actually pay attention to what you do. Yeah.
Well, I had at least three or four people ask me if I brought Massey with me.
So, Don, what I was most impressed with was when you asked the question during that panel, the Aaron Archer panel, and you said, I'm not going to ask the question that everybody thinks I'm going to ask. At least half of that crowd started laughing because they knew exactly what in the heck you were talking about.
Right.
Let's see here. What else? My God. So,
what did you ask him then, if not the obvious question?
Let me think. Oh, I asked him what... Oh, Brian, I'm talking about this for a second, if I could. I asked him what was the one thing that he never got a chance to do that was not approved by Hasbro Corporate. And apparently, at one point, they were working on making an Optimus Prime Shogun Warrior-style figure with launching fists.
He talked about that when we plied him with Cheerwine at CharterCon.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah,
I thought that sounded familiar.
So yeah, no, he was totally talking about how he loved like the Shogun Warrior style figures and actually tried to make an actual Transformer one, but it never went through.
And he said, you know, it's going to have. And he said he was going to be engineered so that it had rocket firing fists, and it would come with this one little part that would wind up being lost. It wasn't meant to be lost, but it's just that because all the Shogun Warriors had this one little part that you would lose, like, you know. Godzilla's tongue, or you know, something else off the Shogun Warriors, and I now want that. I don't have any Shogun, but I want a Shogun Warriors Optimus Prime with launching fists. That would be kind of awesome.
Yeah, that was interesting. I would like to have seen that. But when Aaron and Rick were talking about Play With This too, and we'll get into that a little bit later. I'm really excited about that, and I was talking to Trent yesterday. I think we're actually I need to find out when you guys are free this weekend, if you are. I wanted to talk to Trent next week about some of his Shapeway stuff and 3D printing, because we've talked about doing that Shapeway segment, and Trent said, hey, you want to talk about Shapeways? I can tell you about Shapeways. I'm like, okay. But yeah. I think we'll talk to Trent about that, and then toward that Play With This 2 Kickstarter, we'll probably get Trent, Rick, and maybe Aaron on and talk about the Kickstarter and all that. I could do it now, but you know, like they've interviewed like four or five other people at this point, and I want to do something a little different. I don't like doing interviews that much if people haven't paid attention. It's just kind of weird. But that's what other Transformers podcasts are out there for, and again, they are real human beings and not... And not automatons or robots who are out to get me. No, I really enjoyed hanging out. We spent probably the most time with the Shattered Cast guys, and they are awesome dudes. They and I think they want to steal Rob Springer from us, so I'm going to have to keep that
who
from happening.
Doesn't want to steal Rob Springer?
I know.
I mean, we were lucky TFYLP only wanted Don.
I know. Oh, yeah, I forgot about got to hang out with Duron a little bit. And yeah, he was there. Who else?
Proto-Man.
Oh, yeah, Proto-Man, Daniel.
And Plasticon was there.
I didn't meet Plasticon.
Yeah, so, I didn't either.
Yeah, I didn't meet him.
I didn't even see him.
We did talk to Megamus, though.
Yeah, Megamus was there as well.
Yeah,
so,
lots of Transformers podcasters out there. Yep. And shout out to Proto-Man. I know he's part of the TFCon crew. They did a great job. I was super stoked.
Yeah, everything ran smooth. Oh, and I'm going to say this, Brian. I mentioned it to you once or twice. The lady running the panels, mm-hmm. And you remember her name,
Oasis.
Right?
She did a great job.
Oh, God.
And God, she was stellar.
She was quick. She was swift. And she stopped the drive-through questions.
She's smart. She's funny. Don had a crush on her.
No, I didn't have a crush. I'm just saying it's nice.
It's all right, Don. It's all right. Admit it.
That's all we heard the whole time. Oasis was so good.
Oasis is awesome. I loved her.
Brian,
do you think she would talk to me?
Don, this is natural. It happens to everybody at one point or another. I mean, you don't need to be embarrassed.
No, but she did a great job. I was really impressed with the panels and how well those were put together. But yeah, let's see here. What else? I wanted to mention a couple of
things. Okay. So I want to jump ahead a little bit here to one of these other bullet points. Supernatural Con?
So apparently the Supernatural Con was there. And it was like wall-to-wall girls.
And their moms.
And their moms. Like... teenage girls and 20-something girls. So this was...
Sounds about right for Supernatural.
The only people that I know who watch it are Chris Triplett and our friend Ricky. I don't know anybody else that watches that show, and I was surprised that it was all girls.
Yeah. Well, the two leads are fairly attractive guys, I guess. So I guess that's why there's so many people that do watch, so many girls that watch it. But, I mean, I talked to a few of them. And they said they were having a great convention. They had all the stars there. They're in their 10th season, which is like...
10th season, really?
Yeah. So some of what I overheard from people at TFCon is that the Supernatural Con also was, like, super expensive to get into.
Yeah.
Oh.
And there was actually, like, prominent postings around that you could not have, like, unlicensed merchandise for sale or anything in the Supernatural Con.
So I guess official... Was it the official Supernatural convention?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, that... So instead of being a fan convention.
It was actually... I think it was larger than TFCon.
And that's what people were saying. And, like, there was some bafflement to that because it was so expensive and, you know, you don't need, like, trade official stuff. And, you know, I mean, there was a bunch of restrictions on it, but it was still, like, bigger than what TFCon ended up being because Supernatural, I mean... much wider appeal than Transformers. So, yeah, that just kind of amused me through the course of the weekend hearing the secondhand stories of that.
Yeah, it was interesting. But, you know, I kind of get judgy. I don't know if anybody knew that. But Kim was giving me crap for, like, judging the Supernatural Con. It's like, you're at a Transformers Con and you're 35 years old. Yeah, but they were cool, and they respected us, and we respected them. There was that mutual respect, you know, so it was pretty great.
Nice.
Okay, so...
So it wasn't like the Hot Wheels convention.
Oh, that was the worst thing ever. Time. You weren't there. Were you there for that BotCon?
No.
Okay. That must have been 2010. I was thinking it was 2012.
Yeah, 2010, 2012.
Oh, my God. Okay, that was terrible. yeah, still not as bad.
Yeah, that was Disney BotCon.
Yeah, Disney. Disney BotCon. Let's see here. Oh, and Chicago is pretty great. The pizza was good. The Willis Tower, which is formerly the Sears Tower, was... I didn't stand on the glass.
It was frightening, wasn't it?
I looked down over it, but I couldn't stand on it. Not because I thought it would break, because I know it wouldn't. But there's always the... small chance.
I know. It's just that little, like, voice in the back of your head, which is like, I can't see anything below me. This is wrong.
Yeah. But I'll admit, it was some spec.
Oh, you could see plenty of stuff below you. It was just 103 floors down.
Yeah.
No more.
It was just some spectacular views from the top. I mean,
I thought it was going to be taller.
No, I mean, like, one of you tweeted a picture from up there, and it's like, I don't think I would have gone up there.
I think the elevator that took, like, you know, basically only a minute, because I think it was moving at, like, 45 miles an hour, I think that's basically what took away how high we actually were. If we would have climbed that or went on a slow elevator, we'd have been like, this took forever.
If you would have climbed that, you would have died.
Yeah.
Well, it's 2,300.
Or, you know, Don and Kilby would have anyway.
Well, it's 2,300 some odd steps, so it would have been cardio for the year.
I walked 7 miles that day, and I think 5 miles the next day. So there's quite a bit of walking going on.
Yeah, and the train getting to the Sears Tower was an adventure.
And you slept on it. That's the first time you've done the L. I was surprised that you didn't do it when you were in Chicago before.
Well,
but you told me you never leave the convention center.
Yeah, up until 2005, 2006, I was mostly a dealer room. I went to some of the panels, but I was always in the dealer room buying, trading.
staying in the deal room of any convention is my idea of hell.
It was just me.
It's like whenever I go to a comic convention with Chris Triplett, that's all he wants to do. And I'm hate this so much.
And, like, I can't really imagine having the convention experience where, like, your entire focus is within the walls of the convention itself. You know, I want to go and do stuff in an area that I don't go to ever, you know, with people that I see, if I'm lucky, once a year.
Yeah.
I wasn't a visible part of the fandom. I mean, I wasn't on ATT anymore. I was on some boards, but, you know, I really didn't have anybody to hang out with.
In the collective consciousness of the fandom, you were a visible member.
Right, but I'm saying I didn't have a group of people that I knew all these people by sight, but I wasn't part of any cliques.
I don't think Kim quite understood how visible you were until half of that audience laughed when that question came up. People think I'm joking when I say that you're like internet famous amongst the fandom. You're the headmaster, Don.
Yeah, but I mean now that I've got a group of people that I hang out with, and
you got a posse.
People that I know. I want to do more. You know, than just, I'll be honest, and this will sound egotistical, and I don't mean it to sound that way. I have most of the crap in the dealer's room, and what I don't have, I can't afford or don't want.
Having been to Don's house, how many people, raise your hand if you have a Grand Maximus and a Fort Max beside your bed?
Well, not beside my bed, it's in my office.
You have a Grand Max and a Fort Max.
I just got a Grand Maxis.
You
have the Toy World.
You have
Grand Max.
Grant.
We're talking
Grant.
You have Grant.
That's not the same thing.
Don has a real, honest to God, Grand Max beside his bed.
That he bought for like $25 in 1973. I'm sorry, Don. You know I have to make that joke.
In Don's office, there are a lot of things that I would consider holy grails, and they're just laying there. And I'm like, I want this so bad.
Okay, so while we're on the Don tangent here, Don, this isn't bad, Don. This kind of relates to the obvious question thing. I put something in the Skype chat. Have you had a chance to see anything about this since you got home?
We talked about it on the drive there.
Okay, so Don, I wanted to get your thoughts on this because, I mean...
So what is this, XV? Why don't you tell
us? Okay, so last week, I talked about this on what's now 389, that the person who designed Generations RC, at least in, you know, some portion, in like 1998 designed for BotCon Japan a custom scratch-build transforming RC figure that is remarkably similar. And this is images from TF Archive of that custom and in-hand images for Generations RC to illustrate that point. But basically it came from Figure King magazine that came out a week or so ago that this person is one of the designers on RC. And it's just basically it amazed me that like 16-ish years later, you know, this person got to take their custom-built figure and make a retail product out of it, and I just kind of wondered, you know, what Don thought about this, like, really interesting history added to the RC figure coming up.
Well, the thing of it is, it just sort of expands on the one fact, why do we have to wait so long? If this figure was in existence, and they had this to go by as a model, as what they could do to make the figure look like the G1 character, why did it take so long? Because they had a blueprint to go by sitting right there on somebody's shelf.
And I think what this proves is that the engineering has never been the challenge because someone could scratch build this without like a great mass of parts. But it's more that it took until this point for Hasbro to basically evolve its way of thinking and what the Transformers line is to not have the distinct gender divide to think that, okay, pink girl character is not going to sell because that's not the way Hasbro is thinking anymore.
Do we know what the ratio is on the case, the assortment?
I'm pretty sure we are getting two RCs and two Chromias per case.
Let's hope that actually hits.
I thought it was going to be a 4-4 case almost because what else?
Because we're getting reruns of Windblade and something else in there too.
Okay. Well, actually, Windblade's been selling very good.
Three characters in a case.
Yeah.
I think what's helped over the last year is with the success of IDW showing they can take not minor characters, background characters maybe better, background characters, secondary characters, and actually make them viable enough to like to be a part of the main cast. I don't mean that in any kind of derogatory. I'm just saying Tailgate. Mm-hmm. You don't think of Swerve, and to me, Swerve and Tailgate are recolors.
Non-entities, basically.
Yeah,
but with
that's
them,
because you don't read the comics, Don.
I know.
No,
I
mean, but well,
historically,
no, the
they've
point
been
is,
non-entity.
Yeah,
I know.
They've always been repaints of other characters. But with IDW taking these characters and giving them personalities, that's translated to the fans as these being more top shelf characters, which means the toys are getting made. But they only just recently started doing that with female characters in the past year since Dark Cybertron and all that. So the environment that they've helped create has in turn helped them help Hasbro see female characters in a different light. But like you said, Brian, if this was done 16 years ago, from an engineering standpoint, it could have been done with Beast Wars engineering because it's just balanced. It could have been done with G2 engineering.
Yeah.
So that's
yeah, I mean,
my only.
There's
that's
not
the only
like
thing
any I'm, amazing. There's not any amazing leaps of engineering. This is really simple stuff.
Yeah, it's just that's what sort of makes me a little miffed is that they had this 16 years ago and it's not been done until now.
This one was designed by a fan who was a fan then, not a fan now.
Yeah,
16 years ago.
Because that's the point, too, because this person, the next year, went to work for Takara, probably based on Takara's people seeing this and other stuff he had done
as
a fan.
So the RC toy could have been made from wood or Lincoln Logs or something, and it would come out in 2014. There's no reason to get pissed off at Hasbro or Takara for not releasing this in the 1940s. Because the technology, which is what I think Don's saying, because the technology here isn't like, any more advanced than what we had 16 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
that's irrelevant.
Yeah, you don't need Revenge of the Fallen Leader Class Prime engineering to make that RC.
But people want that so it doesn't have a backpack anymore.
Yeah. I thought that was interesting, and I can't wait to get my RC. So, God, we're running long. One quick thing I want to get out. No. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I wanted Don to chime in on it, because he didn't get a chance to. He chimed in on it in my car, but he didn't get a chance to chime in on it here.
I would have liked to hear that conversation as that came up, but this is the next best thing. So,
one thing I really want to do is send a big shout out and thanks to Diecast Don, Melvar, Nick, Dan, Rob, Kristen, and especially Kim for putting up with me this past weekend. I really appreciate you guys for, me being an ass. So, thank you guys.
Well, I mean, what I'm going to ask is, did it turn into, like, the trip back to Oklahoma after BotCon 2012?
I don't remember the trip back to Oklahoma.
Oh. Well, never mind then.
I will say that if I never stop at another Steak and Shake again, I'll be happy.
We did hit the world's worst Steak and Shake.
And well, then you need to stop at another Steak and Shake to actually have the proper experience.
I love Steak and Shake.
Yeah. Steak and Shake is great.
Well, it's like what Brian tweeted. I was on the phone with customer service the minute we got in the car.
Yeah. Yeah.
And working for the people I do work for, I know what it's like in customer service when you're swamped.
They weren't swamped.
They weren't swamped. There was no reason for the stuff that we went through to get free shakes to take that long.
To get free shakes, it's not free shakes. Just clarifying. Thought Don said free. Let's see here. Also, real quick. Halls. What did you guys get? I'll go first since I'm the host. I think my favorite thing I got was Aveo Swerve. That Don gave me.
Well, I was given it by Brad. He had an extra that. Yep, that right there, Aveo Swerve. He gave it to me and then I gave it to Brian because I've already got one.
Don's awesome.
Yeah, but that is a toy that if you can find one relatively inexpensive, say less than say what $30-$35 maybe 40.
30 is about right. Yeah,
that is it's not quite Generations. It's not quite Movie, but it's an awesome figure.
Yeah. Let's see. The on-site representative from Master Shooter was selling Ball Gag and Hustler. I got that.
Yeah, for Generations Nightbeat and Armada Starscream.
Yeah, I got, let's see here, Requiem, which was, God, who actually made that? Which company was that? Impossible Toys, which no longer exists. Yeah. I got Requiem.
That's one of the Tetrajets, right?
Tetrajets. Yeah, I got Requiem.
Not Dirge.
He's crap.
yes, he is.
Hill Jumper, which is Cliff Jumper. It's a little better. And Bump, which is Bumble Jumper, I guess. And they're okay. Let's see here. I think the coolest thing I got, though, was, because I've been wanting these for literally years, DVDs of Beast Wars 2nd and Beast Wars Neo. And, I mean, I can't tell you how pleased I was with that. And also I got, where is it? I'm actually going to wear this to work. A polo.
Ooh.
Transformers polo.
Cool.
Sweet.
And I think that's it. Besides exotic beverages, I got a cherry Pepsi Max. Mm-hmm. And a couple other things. Oh, and I got, I saw a $4,000 bottle of hot sauce.
$4,000 bottle of hot sauce.
Yeah. It's a supermarket called Jungle Gems.
Which I've been wanting to go to for years. It's the nation's largest supermarket.
Can you explain to me why this bottle of hot sauce was $4,000?
I asked the same thing.
So, okay, so what makes hot sauce hot is capsaicin crystals, which is the concentration of that. So basically, this is capsaicin extract from pepper. So basically, they've gone through the process of pulling capsaicin out of all these peppers, and that's an expensive process. And this, the crystals can be basically diluted down and used in other hot sauces. So you're not supposed to eat that crap, because it wouldn't kill you, but it wouldn't be pleasant.
It would do real physical damage to your taste buds.
It would do real physical damage. I mean, this is the stuff that they use in like
pepper spray.
It's the stuff they use in Icy Hot or Bengay. So I mean,
capsaicin injections are used to treat like severe arthritis.
Yeah. So this stuff,
like in joint injections.
Yeah. So yeah, this stuff is not meant for consumption. So it's expensive. I did buy a $9 bottle, which I didn't already have. I saw they had like four aisles of hot sauces.
Oh, yeah. I just love that you talk about this like you have a hot sauce collection, which I have no doubt that you do to some degree, but it's just like, you know, yeah, I mean, you made fun of Supernatural fans. Kim makes fun of you for liking Transformers and, you know, hot sauce. I mean,
I don't have a hot sauce collection. The most I've ever spent on hot sauce, a bottle, was like $20 for 3 ounces.
But still, I mean, you know, you said you bought a $9 bottle that you didn't already have.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Although if JD was here, he would probably point out that you would probably have bought one anyway just to have one that wasn't opened yet.
Maybe truth to that.
but the store, I picked up at the same place. I picked up some, like I said in the pre-show, the RC-10, which we don't get down here.
RC Cherry, Cherry RC, I got that.
Yeah. And but I went through there. They have an automatronic Robin Hood. Animatronic, sorry. But it's an auto talk feature. When you walk under it, it sets off the thing. He goes in the whole spiel about keeping prices low in this forest of Nottingham, and if you're aligned with Sir John, you can't shop there, and you know, all that kind of stuff. But I was walking through the British food section. It's like I've died and gone to Chris McFeely's local supermarket. Because it was just stuff that I've heard about for years on British television, like Jammy Dodgers. I finally know what a Jammy Dodger is.
Wow.
And all this other stuff. So it was so cool to see stuff that I've been hearing for years, but not actually knowing what it was.
So Don, what were your at the convention? What were some of your major gets? Don't go to all of it because no.
Oh, I
just love Jammy Dodgers or Jimmy Rogers or whatever that was.
Now, I picked up the first three Warbitron figures. I've been trying to ignore them.
I thought you had those already.
No, I was trying to ignore them, and then I realized I was being stupid because it's a Bruticus and it looks awesome. So, yes, thank you, Diecast. So I picked up those. I picked up the Master Shooter 2-pack with muzzle and swindle variants.
Ball gag.
Ball gag and Hustler.
Gotta get this rider. People will you know, okay, say things to
they've
us.
They've got to get a different Master Shooter representative there this next year. That insane Galvatron guy is, you know, he's. I get tired of seeing him at these conventions. They need to get one of their people from overseas to come over.
And I picked up the two. I picked up four DVDs. Two were the same that Brian got. that I picked up for a friend of mine. And I also picked up for me two classics of the 90s, Bionic 6 and Mighty Orbots.
Was Mighty Orbots 90s?
Yeah.
Was it?
87.
Okay, that's 87, better.
Melvar, what about you? What did you get?
Oh, I got Columbia.
So gorgeous.
Columbo.
Oh, yes, Columbo. I was avoiding them, as with all the third-party Dinobots, but I don't know, some jerk there at the show had them, and I saw how gorgeous it was in person.
What a dick.
They are gorgeous. Yeah. I did not think they would be so nice.
And the fact that it was probably laying on your bed also.
Yes, jerk. Yeah. I spent most of my money in Artist Alley, actually, so...
Oh,
but I did get like the most awesome Wreckers blanket ever.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Who made that?
I got this at the Shattered Cast table, actually.
Awesome. Those Shattered Neat. Cast guys.
Neat.
Love it. And
and I just want to point out, Insane Galvatron is my hero. I'm not actually tired of seeing him.
Yeah, he is a great guy.
Really like him.
And yeah. I hit up Insane Galvatron and bought a bunch of Master Shooters. But most of my money went to Artist Alley.
Master Shooter needs to give him a promotion.
Yeah, okay. Definitely.
So, Diecast, what did you get?
Most of my money went to their exclusives that they had. So I ended up picking up their Blue Azalea, I guess.
I don't hate that in person. I thought I was going to hate that.
I wanted this mold. I love the colors.
I wanted this mold, and I did not want to get the RC mold since we're getting the Generations RC. So Hasbro, if you're listening, if you make the figure, I won't buy it in a third party for the most part. I also picked up which was the first time it was available, the Fans Project Kubrar, which comes with the little driver guy.
What's that one's name, XV?
Rockford,
okay.
Rockford.
Yeah, and he's a Diaclone.
And he is blue. Yeah, he is Diaclone. Blue.
Was it Diaclone or Diaclone in the commercial?
I've heard it both ways. Yeah, I think I've heard it both ways.
Do they pronounce it both ways in the commercial?
Well, I mean, there is only a middle pronunciation, honestly.
Okay, that's a valid point.
And I also got the exclusive Columpio because they still had some of him too.
Oh, I need to get the original from you if you still want to.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So now I got the first two, and I actually got to talk with the Fans Project representative that was there a little bit, and I said, you know, are we going to get the rest of these in exclusive format like these two? And he said yes, which I don't know if that was known already or not, but it's definitely, I would say it's confirmed now. And I also pitched an idea to him because the only thing with getting the exclusives is we miss out on the little guys that transform into weapons, which I kind of like. Pitched an idea if it was possible for them to do an exclusive set of them once they're done with the exclusive Dino Bits.
I bet they could.
And he seemed to like the idea, so hopefully that's something that they actually go ahead and do.
And if anybody's listening, a reciprocal set of the Diaclone drivers in different colors would probably sell also.
Yeah, I agree. Saying.
Absolutely.
And as far as that Azalea goes, like... I was really impressed with the TFCon deco because that actually looks like a finished toy. What I've seen of the like main Azalea looks like it's missing deco still.
Yeah. And it's a little too pink.
Yeah. And then the final thing I picked up was my Grant, which is the Toy World Grand Max. And there was a little bit of a controversy going on because a couple of us... found out that the sticker sheets looked like they're actually uncut, and they made a mistake. But what these actually are, and one of the guys from Shattered Cast actually figured it out, and it's something that I originally thought might happen, they're decals, which if anyone has done cars, what you want to do is you want to cut out holes around the sticker.
Oh no! You don't even have to do that. The top layer of plastic peels back.
Yeah.
And the stickers just come right off.
Well, the stickers come off with the plastic, the clear plastic, and then you can actually apply it to the area
without touching it.
Without touching the sticker, and it'll keep the oils off the sticker. So it's just cool. Like car decals. And then you just press it down, and once you press it down, then you peel off the clear plastic.
It's pretty stellar.
Although, based on the general reaction, they probably needed to find a way to make that clearer with packaging.
It seems like the people at TF Source had no idea, and I didn't look through the instructions, but there's nothing on the instructions that explain this. The only thing you will notice is they give you this nice sheet with a picture of the stickers, and they're actually numbered. The stickers on the sheet, because they're decals, are not numbered.
Right.
So that's actually how you have to match them up. It's really neat. I think they're high quality. I think they're actually better than stickers. So,
I would not be surprised if TF Source's people, like, they probably got one already, like, finished from Toy World for use in promotional photography, and then, you know, the whole stock they got, nobody actually ever, like, opened and handled those to even have an idea of what was going on inside.
Theirs in the display case was actually unstickered.
Interesting.
So,
yeah, and what's weird is that thing was, no one knew about it.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, we walked in, I saw the sign and thought, wait a minute, they've done a exclusive repaint of the I thought it was a Fortress Maximus repaint in the Grand, the recent reissue, and I thought, no, not for 119. But I know, but then I realized, then when I saw it was Toy World, I put two and two together. That's
from
my mind.
From the photo, the photo that they had there, not from the actual toy, because of the size difference.
Well, it didn't help either that, like, the big poster they had you know, $2,000 marked down to, which I thought was kind of neat, but
number 80 in a 4-issue limited series, stuff like that. But coming in a brown box didn't help.
So real quick, because we mentioned Fans Project. It's Fans Project that did. That did the Utopia.
Maki Toys.
Didn't they have? They shared a table though, didn't they?
Maki Toys and Fans Toys share a lot of the same designers.
Fans Project.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Thank you. I start saying fans, and one of the two just
they
pops
run
out.
Together for me. And
they do. I was gonna make the same point,
but they shared a table. But Utopia, Don got to hold it.
Yes.
So what did you think, Don?
It's lighter than you would think, but it doesn't feel cheap. So, I mean, you know, it's a good balance of plastic.
You're not the right person to ask, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Is it worth $400?
I'm going to get it.
Okay.
Because, so, yes.
Well, to me it is because I think...
So, we can at least say it's at least as much worth $400 as Kronos was.
Rob Springer also got to hold it, but he's not here. So I wanted his opinion. He's probably a better judge of value. I don't know. I've seen both their collections, and Rob's collection's bigger, so that may not be the case.
Yeah, it's just here's a short version. I'm going to get Quantron. And if I get the Maki Toy, if I get Utopia, I can do some deferred financing and special, just all that. I can spread out the payments. So it's not as big of a hit as it would be for some people that, you know. But I prefer that immensely compared to the Generations Metroplex. I know there's some people on the fence. It's just, to me, it's a better looking Metroplex in both robot and city modes.
Yeah.
I can see the merit to both of them, honestly, because, you know, the Make Toys one is very much more in the visual style of the original design, but the Generations one's actually a toy.
My opinion of it flipped, seeing it in person. I'm now pro-Utopia. I was totally anti-Utopia, and XV cannot reach Utopia and grab it, so. Let's see here real quick.
No, there's just a weird noise outside, that's why I'm...
Is it scratching? Where?
No. It might be the UFOs, though.
So guess what? 50 minutes in. Let's jump to the news. So, BotCon 2015.
Out of nowhere.
Is in Chicago.
Hey, when was that announced?
In the middle of TFCon.
The start of TFCon.
It's no secret. But we did see Pete Sinclair from FunPub walking around.
I saw people mentioning it, but given the people who were saying it and I didn't see any face shots, I wasn't sure if they were actually being serious or
Rob
not.
Rob and I walked by. He's like, hey, Pete. Like, Pete nodded at me a couple times because, you know, I don't know Pete well, but I know him enough, you know, he recognized me, I'm certain.
Of course, he knows me.
He dropped off flyers. Some of the people in the dealer room actually had flyers.
We were wondering how that happened. I thought that we might have printed that off. They might have had that printed overnight. So
he dropped off BotCon flyers.
Yes,
BotCon vinyl hang things like the RFC one that we have at conventions.
Vertical
banner.
The really nice one we have.
The one that John did.
Well, it's actually in Phoenix Run,
Pheasant
Run, Illinois.
And everybody who was local was kind of perplexed by that.
I'm not local now, but I was there long enough to understand where that is, and I'm perplexed by it because that is about an hour and a half away from O'Hare by any means, and it's not even near the tollways or anything. It is like as far away from major transit as you can get.
Now,
I talked to two shops that I dealt with within the last day or two that were from St. Charles, mm-hmm. and they said it's not bad because I was like, is there a place to eat around there? And they said, yeah, there's places to eat. The one guy was like, you got to go to this. They have like a Bourbon Street, apparently, that's near there. Within like 5 or 10 minutes, and apparently that's kind of cool. There's a lot of, you know, restaurants and bars and stuff, so it might not be as bad as we thought.
From my experience with the Chicago suburbs in my life, I mean, there are places to go to get, you know, good food, like quality food. It might cost a little bit, but you get good stuff. You usually can't go too far without hitting a nice restaurant and a couple of places to shop at least. So
I found that Chicago was pretty darn expensive compared to other major cities that I've been to.
Yeah.
Like, it was pretty darn expensive.
And there was nothing really local other than there was a mall about a block and a half away that I didn't go to that. But the closest to McDonald's was what, a 15-minute walk?
It's 0.7 miles or so. We made that trip once. I wish I'd gone back.
Yeah, but also from what I understand now, Chris, you can correct me, apparently the local regional airport cannot handle large planes. So
there's a lot of regional airports in the suburbs. I actually at one point lived about 500 feet from a regional airport, and they're only good for like small... Yeah, basically. Like, you'd be lucky to get a little jet to land there. Definitely not, like, commercial airliners. No, the only in for flights is O'Hare, and that's an hour and a half in general traffic, and it's going to be about a $60 taxi ride either way.
I heard 35 minutes from the people I was talking to today.
That's extremely optimistic! When I lived in that area, I was about an hour's drive from Chicago, and St. Charles is twice as far from Chicago as anywhere I lived up there.
And judging by the traffic we saw when we were on the train going to the Sears, the Willis Tower,
Sears Tower.
But the way the traffic looked, you're not going to be going anywhere in traffic unless you get there at 0:30 and leave at 0:30.
There's a small window in the middle of the day between about 2:30 and 4 o'clock when you can drive in and out of the city, but otherwise it's rush hour.
Getting out of town on Sunday wasn't a big deal.
Yeah. No, because it's the weekend.
Yeah, So Chicago. At BotCon, I booked my room, so I was pretty satisfied by that.
Just as a FYI to anyone who's debating on that, they do charge a day in advance when you book the reservation. So if you have a debit card or credit card, that hit will be on there. Presumably, like the other hotels that do it, if you cancel, you will get it back, unless you cancel after the date.
Mm-hmm. You got 48 hours.
Yeah.
BotCon has been releasing via their Twitter and their Facebook that if you go to the hotel's website and it looks sold out, call them on the phone, the people on the phone can get more rooms than are showing up on the website. Just ask for the BotCon rate.
It was giving me a problem where I couldn't schedule my date out for Monday, and I actually scheduled like Friday to Sunday and called them and say, hey, I want to stay till Monday, and they just extended it for me.
The actual hotel service front desk has more rooms than what their 800 number shows, is what I was told.
BotCon's posts actually have like the direct number to that hotel, so you can call their service desk and actually get someone to help you with that if you need to.
Now, I have made my reservations, but I am considering. It sounds like driving is going to be the preferable way, considering the airport situation. But I am But I am debating on skipping next year. Not because of anything with this location or anything. It's just I think I could use a break, and you know that is kind of a long drive anyway from where I live. So again, I don't know. It's just up in the air right now.
If you probably experienced this going to TFCon, just be prepared for the tollways.
Yeah, they're quite a few
if you drive in.
Yeah.
Well, it's weird. We paid more in tolls once we got in Chicago than the entire West Virginia Turnpike.
Yeah.
It was pretty expensive. Yeah. So, moving ahead, Leader Class Ultra Magnus potentially coming in 2015. He showed up in a major retailer system, and I'm assuming that's Walmart. Don?
Well, if you want to assume that, I mean, there might be some information in the photo.
Considering the bottom of it does say Walmart, yeah. So,
Don, I want to run something past you. In your experience in your life of working for major retailers with computerized inventory systems, the fact that this is at the bottom of this list would indicate that it was added later than things like the Megatrons or Jetfire or Thundercracker, right?
Well, possibly, or it was just dumped in as a massive update to the system, and it arranged and the numbers that it's being called in the system is that's how the way it was arranged. So it may have just landed at the bottom of the list based on the number it was given as an identity number. So it could have been in there with 400 other items that was just a massive update. And that's just the way it landed on the list.
Or having some knowledge about this, because I happen to be working on a complete overhaul of these systems, it could also just be wherever this data was loaded into the CSV file or XML file from where this came from Hasbro to that retailer. It also could happen that way, based on the assortment.
If we're going to see this, we'll see it at Toy Fair. And of course, we'll be there live.
So. Yes, we'll be there live at Toy Fair.
Well, let me ask y'all this. This says Leader Class. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's any way possible that could be Masterpiece Magnus?
No. It says $44.96.
Not at Walmart.
Not for $45.
And it also rules out your RID.
I mean, the guy's thinking about it. Think about it. They could take a hatchet and cut them in half and then put that in a Leader Class box and sell it at Walmart.
Yeah, you could probably get the back half.
Yeah. You could do that.
Well, actually, guys, I'm sorry because when I glanced at that earlier, I did not see that price on it. So that is my fault because I had not done the research on that. I just.
But yeah, no, so Walmart. But,
okay.
Walmart.
I mean, it's going to be something new that we haven't seen yet.
Yeah, I want it. I don't even know what it looks like, but I want it.
Yeah, he doesn't even know what it looks like. He's like,
that's not important. It's Ultra Magnus.
Okay, what it's going to be, it's going to be.
Like, I've already been having the internal debate, which I vented some of on Twitter last night. Like, do I want to sell my City Commander, or is having a white Prime inside my Ultra Magnus important to me? And,
that's
the position.
Cool.
Just a position City Commander holds, too, because it's like, the first real third-party thing I bought. It's kind of the first third-party toy as we understand the idea now.
I'd keep it. Keep it.
Maybe.
Yeah, keep it. I didn't see that many City Commanders, or any, this past
weekend.
There
wasn't any.
Yeah.
Well, now, are there any toys that they've come out with that can be recolored into Magnus, or...
What?
I don't know.
Can you try that again without the yawn?
I'm sorry. I'm just thinking, is there anything that they could recolor and make into Magnus other than just doing a two-up of the three-up of the titanium mold?
Oh, please, no.
Okay, so let's go ahead. So do we care about the new photos of Toy World D-02 Muddy?
Well, we should probably give some mention to how, like, there are 2-liter-ish scale Astro Trains coming out. Because, you know, we're having another third party off here.
Oh, hey, Ryan, Animated Plastic just brought up a good point. I mean, he's saying that the Leader Class Magnus is going to be a repaint of the Platinum Magnus. Which I forgot about even existing.
No. I don't think that's going to be the case.
Don't think so?
Okay, so we have a couple of Astro Trains coming. Yes. We have the one that is done by, is it Toy World who's doing this one?
One is Toy World.
And the good
one
is the X09.
That DX9 one looks amazing. I already pre-ordered that.
The DX9 one does look good.
Yeah.
The Toy World one looks to me, you could tell me that that was the G1 toy. And if I wasn't paying attention, if I just glanced at it, I'd be like, oh yeah, that's the G1 toy.
It's the G1 toy with glasses, as I recall.
Yeah, it's not... It looked okay in the train mode. And the shuttle mode, the plastic was like an off-white, and it looked kind of weird.
Although they said that with Devil Star, it's like a half-finished state, so the plastic color may not be the same on the final.
Okay, well, that's
the white one, I guess the Toy World one, they had a prototype on display at the TF Source booth.
Yeah, and it
didn't look bad, but yeah, the DX9 one looks better.
Yeah, the DX9 one looks pretty flippin' phenomenal.
But
the
Toy World one
seems lacking detail.
Well, and it seems like between Devil Star and Grant and Infinitor, like somebody has gotten onto a bent at Toy World of, hey, let's take these G1 designs and, you know, change the scale and add some joints.
Yeah.
And at least as far as Grant and Infinitor, I can't complain about that too much because I really want the Fortress Maximus in that scale with some posability. Because I'm never getting a full-size Fort Max again because that's just terrible.
Too much toy.
It's a terrible burden to deal with, which sounds like the worst thing to say about a toy. But...
And judging by the size of the head, he'd scale pretty good with these guys.
It's like 9 inches tall.
Mm-hmm. You know what's actually nice? They have a little power indicator actually in the
chest.
And
it works with G1 Headmasters.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty... God, why didn't I get that?
Yeah.
Okay. I actually have Infinitor on pre-order. I'm not sure if I'm going to keep it, but I've got it on pre-order right now.
So did we talk... We talked about... Go ahead, Don.
No, I was going to say, the thing about the DX9 Astro Train is that, judging from the pictures and from what I've seen so far, you can't tell... one mode from the other.
That's true. It does not bleed. They do not bleed into each other. Yeah, you can't tell that one's a space shuttle that's pretending to be a train.
Yeah, you know, the bottom might have some visible kibble, but just from what we're seeing in the test shots there and these pictures, they look completely just you know.
Did we talk about Apollyon at TFCon, the TFCon recording? Was that out yet?
I think a lot of us went ooh and ah over it.
No, but during the recording that we did Saturday, I guess we did.
What, was that after the third-party panel? Because they showed that at the third-party panel.
They showed it at the third-party panel. Yeah, it looks nice, and this looks, to me, way better than Hegemon.
Well, this is also, like, this is supposed to be, like, masterpiece style, so... I mean, it's a little bit more advanced over Hegemon.
But the pricing of it, it's, what, $150?
Yeah.
I am entirely satisfied with that.
From what I heard, there is going to be some parts forming necessary for the tank, though.
This is not the tank one.
Yeah, this is not the tank one. This is the good one. This is the one they unveiled.
Oh, okay. I know.
Yeah, not yeah, the one that and, the parts forming, it's I'm not too crazy about that. It's okay. It's better than Hegemon.
And they've got some neat accessories planned for this. They got the control helmet from Prime Problem and the lightsaber from the movie. They actually came up with some neat stuff to throw in as extras.
And what I learned is X-Transbots and KFC are like, you know, one of the same companies, kind of like Fans Project and Make Toys, Mach-A Toys.
Yeah.
They have a lot of crossover on their back end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also just remember, with this masterpiece, not Megatron, if you buy from anybody in the U.S., it's going to be modded.
Yeah. True.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see here. And one more third-party news item I want to mention. If you're looking at the show notes, I deleted a couple out because it's been going over an hour. So the Play With This 2 reveal of Jetwash, which is an homage to Pretender Starscream. Mostly just want to take this as an opportunity to mention the Play With This 2 presentation. I'm actually really excited about this, more so than most of the other third-party stuff. Mostly because, one, they're putting themselves out there. We know who they are. They're all known quantities. They're not some sort of invisible person, you know, out and about. They're people who have worked for Hasbro, directly or indirectly. And we already know them. At least a couple of them we know personally. And they're making some cool stuff. And they're doing things differently. So the toys are going to all be basically different. There's going to be homages from Transformers, potentially homages from Inhumanoids, and Don, maybe some Visionaries.
Well, I know Hasbro recently reapplied for the Visionaries trademarks, so I'm hoping maybe there's some carryover to these as well with these folks having worked with Hasbro's product lines before.
So basically at the convention, it was announced, of course, that Aaron Archer and Simon Furman would be participating with Play With This 2. Also, it's Rick Alvarez and Trent Troop. And we should have Trent on the show next week, not to talk about this, but to talk about some of the other things he's working on, as long as we figure out a time. But what I thought was interesting, the most interesting thing I heard all week, was Aaron Archer's comment that transforming robot fans should seek out Transforming Robot Play and embrace it wherever they find it, which seemed like a, I don't know, it's not exactly what I thought he would say, but he did say that he finds, and this is my new favorite quote ever, most of the third-party stuff out there to be quote-unquote weird copies. And I agree, that is the perfect way to describe most of this stuff that we're drooling over. Weird copies is just phenomenal. But I really did think it was interesting that he sort of embraced this third-party culture.
The thing of it, too, is he's, like, gone and openly expressed very strong opinions on, you know, where third-party stands in relation to, you know, Transformers, intellectual property, and such. And, you know, working for a group that's doing things that are very much based on Transformers design, this is more than a bit of a reversal on his previously stated grounds.
He also mentioned in his panel that, you know, if Hasbro isn't going to produce what fans are looking for, they should look for it in whatever venues present themselves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because Hasbro is technically not doing the job 100%. If they're not getting the stuff out that people are wanting.
I would have got fans, you know, I would have got the MMC Azalea in the RC colors if the Generations RC wasn't coming out.
And, you know, I'm not going to hold Aaron to his opinions in the past because people's opinions change depending on their circumstances. Yeah. And,
exactly.
You know, points to him for just, like, embracing the new situation that he's entered into. Yeah. And not trying to play both sides.
And again, my second favorite quote from Aaron was when asked about Homicidal Optimus Prime from the movies, he said, and I quote, "I find it unfortunate."
Oh.
Love that. Yeah. Love that.
It's unfortunate, but it's so entertaining.
What, Don?
One thing I wanted to bring up, I know you cut out some stuff. Can we mention Dino King real quick? Since that was probably the least surprising.
That's the big reveal, and I was kind of underwhelmed.
Well, wasn't that much to see. I mean, we saw it.
We saw the prototype, and I'm like, yeah, it's great.
Melvar and I were in line to go look at it, and we get up there, and then they rebox it. So
yeah, as soon as we got up to the front of the line, the doors to the room opened, so they put it back in the box and cover it up really quick before we could actually see it.
There's those guys with the blue shirts.
The people in line in front of us got a great look.
But it is nice that we're actually getting it as Dino King first instead of a Monstructor.
Why does it matter?
Because I have Monstructor, I don't have a Dino King.
And no, honestly, I would rather see it as Monstructor first, just because it's so hard to get an intact Monstructor.
And this goes back to my opinion on third-party stuff. Don, once you have this, you still won't have a Dino King. You'll have a third-party Dino King.
Well, see, that's also like I was saying on that canceled Nova Lord. It may not be a legit Overlord, but it's still a representation of the character, and it's a damn sight cheaper than getting an actual boxed.
And
you don't have Overlord?
No, I do. I'm saying for the people
that
are younger than me.
Of course he does. We've seen it in his background in the past. And like I think it's a good point too, because like yeah, you can't say that you have the legitimate article. You can't say you have a Grand Maximus, but if the third party Don can, but Don is special. But if you can have the third party toy based on that image and be satisfied for yourself that exactly. you have an adequate representation. Well, does it matter if it's the official or a third party? I mean, I'm gonna end up with an official brainstorm before too long because they're making one. But you know, any of these headmasters or any third party thing I have, if I'm satisfied with that as a representation of the character, doesn't really matter to me that it's not like a G1 toy.
Yeah,
exactly.
I don't want a G1 toy.
I agree. The G1 toys are horrible, and I
not
think
always,
the one thing
usually.
Yeah, I think the one thing the third parties really hurt were the guys that were selling official, you know, like G1 toys because, I mean, why am I going to pay $800 for a really nice boxed, you know, Ultra Magnus when I'm going to get, you know...
pushed the G1 collector's market toward the AFC-graded stuff? Is that where we're seeing more?
I hope not, because that's just. I mean, if there's one character that you, I'd like, if Optimus Prime is your character, if he resonates with you to such a degree,
like he does with Ender,
I was gonna say,
if it means that much to you to have a graded, boxed, sealed, hermetically sealed forever and ever, Optimus Prime. That you can treasure as it is in the box, locked in stasis for eternity, that's fine. But it's really... The AFA stuff, to me, is like Beanie Babies. I'm waiting for the bubble to burst.
Sorry, I forgot I have my camera on where you guys can see me. I'm just sitting here with my Salamor, loving it.
no, but I mean, I think third party is helping to push G1 collecting to more of a niche than it was. Because a lot of people who are more actively into modern toy design have alternatives. They don't have to buy the G1 toys to have those characters.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if it's going to go... I don't know if it's specifically pushing things to AFA collecting, but, I mean, it's definitely pushing original vintage G1 collecting farther into a corner.
Yeah. Let's see here. Quickly on tformers.com, we have a review of More Than Meets the Eye 34. And I don't want to get into it because there's so much stuff here, but you can go check out the Robots in Disguise character bios and season info information that is also at tformers.com.
The major takeaway from this is just that they are already planning this to be 78 episodes produced over the course of 2 years.
Holy crap. Wow.
Wow.
Is this
produced, not necessarily airing over 2 years.
So we know that Takara is going to air this stuff, but this is not a joint production. This is a Hasbro production.
We have no knowledge of this being an active co-production, but Takara is going to air it within a couple months of the U.S. airing.
So
they're working closely.
Sweet, sweet. Okay, let's go ahead and jump to our live recording from TFCon, and we will be back in just a few minutes. Actually, several minutes. It's like 40 minutes long, but we'll be
it's going to be a long show.
We'll be back.
So it's another 15th anniversary episode.
Pretty much.
Double. That means it's full of awesome and win.
Yeah, and you should watch it.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, live from TFCon.
I guess we're live via tape delay. God, it's Rob, Melvar, Diecast, Dan, Nick. Am I missing anybody?
Nope.
Nobody important.
Nobody. Kristen's here, but Kristen's off camera.
Hi.
Rob's girlfriend, Kristen. So, this if you're watching video, this is probably the worst setup that I've ever done at a convention. And if you're listening to the audio, this is probably the worst setup I've ever done at a convention. So, we'll see how this works. So today was Saturday, which is day one and a half.
One and a half.
One and a quarter. Yeah. TFCon. I think all the major stuff that I was interested in pretty much happened today, including the third party panel, which Diecast did an awesome job.
Thank you.
Sending a video from or photos from. Let's see here. I completely missed everything but the Aaron Archer panel and the third party panel. Yesterday, though, we did get to see David's movie, Transform Me, which David has been working on for years. If you've been to BotCon, you've probably seen him, with his video camera. At BotCon 2012, I actually helped him shoot video on this.
It's the Chinese democracy at BotCon.
Meaning, if you don't know, that was Guns N' Roses? That was that album?
On Forever.
With the Guns N' Roses, fake Guns N' Roses, that took 10 years or so to make.
Yeah.
It's the Duke Nukem Forever.
Oh, that's a great analogy.
We've got Tommy Kennedy and Transform Me. What's left?
Yeah, actually, that's true. There's not much left in Transformers that needs to be done in the fandom anyway.
Yeah, what are we going to do now?
So, we had that. We had the third-party panel, which, again, if you want to go see photos, Rob Clay has collected those at T-Formers, or you can go and you should just follow our Twitter account at TF Radio. God, what else? The Aaron Q&A. Did anyone else go to any other panel? You went to the script reading?
Script reading.
And...
Yeah.
Did Ninja Dave help out with that?
Yeah, I think that was Ninja Dave's thing, the Audio Nights Theater.
Which is now at the audionightstheater.com or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
They broke off.
Oh, man. But, he did that. I think he did the auditions for the audience crew while Venice Terzo, Dan Gilvezan, and...
Is it Gilvezan?
Gilvezan, and Alan Oppenheimer did their voices... proper, so, yeah.
How did it go? Was it good?
I enjoyed it, yeah. Yeah, it was good. Yeah, it was fantastic. The guy who did, we were both saying Beast Wars Megatron sounded exactly like
him. Like David Kaye?
Yeah, I mean, up to the point that you're actually starting, is he here too?
Yeah. Okay, so I guess the meat of the discussion, Transform Me.
Okay.
I'm not knocking it fully. It was a labor of love, and, David's a cool dude, and he's been working on it for a while. Don's in it, and the Don footage is from 1996, and oh my god, he looks so young.
And it's like, what, 5 seconds?
He's in it for like 5 seconds. I thought he was going to have a bigger part.
It's like a heartbeat of Don.
But it's in the opening. It's in the opening credits.
It's in the opening credits.
Well, okay. Daniel Don it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, so, my problem with it, and this is my feedback to David... in general, I'm looking at my phone for notes. So, it runs a little long. I would probably cut it short. I don't mean to sound draconian, but it's an hour and a half. I'd probably drop it down to 40 minutes. Seems reasonable.
Yeah. It seems longer than that.
I would almost say half hour. But
I'd probably drop it down to 40 minutes. All of the other footage that you have in the film, I would probably have that in there as additional footage. I'd probably trim most of the David,
the girl sitting at his desk?
Yeah, it's not a bookend because it's not the beginning and end. The transitions, the framework. The framework, yeah. I would probably drop most of that because the movie's really, it's David's movie, but it's kind of...
a little payoff to it.
Yeah, it's kind of like highly, 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 focused on David, where it's less about Transformers as a transformation. It's more about Transformers as something David does and has been making a movie about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's his video blog.
It's his video blog, which he's going to put on DVD, etc. There's no real transformation in David's part. I don't think any of the people that are in the film were improved or made better in any way by Transformers. I mean, how many people do we know that really are, like, engineers? One person in the movie. No, actually he wasn't. How many people do we know that are engineers and scientists because of loving Transformers as a kid? We know several.
Yeah.
None of those folks are in the movie. In fact, most of the people in the movie, you know, could you could argue are probably worse for wear. So maybe is that the message that David's trying to get across?
You know, it's the same thing I said about the Rhino videos. And whenever someone makes these things, they always want to focus on the kind of quirkiness of it and end up making themselves like, hey, look how horrible of a freak I am.
I mean, yeah. Watching it made me feel better about myself.
Yeah.
I personally thought that it's the worst possible example of the Transformers fandom being brought to light.
It's like, look how sick we are. Look how maladjusted.
And socially just...
I think it was a video we could all relate to as Transformers fans, and that gave me a really bad feeling inside. Like, there's something seriously wrong with me that I can relate to this person.
Says Diecast's chest.
Yeah, you know, funny thing is, Rob, I guess you and I are the ones who've been around the longest.
Yeah.
A lot of these people, I either know them already, mm-hmm. or I've seen them over the years. So I relate to a lot of this stuff, and it kind of makes me feel bad.
To the point.
I mean, I guess because... Okay, so what I realize going to these conventions is I'm 35 years old. All of the drama, all of the mystique, all of the interesting things about the Transformers fandom, to me, long passed me by. All of the flame wars that we were familiar with, all of the freak shows, you know, all of the people that, you know, I mean, I don't know, you know, they didn't focus on Metal Hawk Guy. He did get one nod. He got one nod.
Yeah.
But not that Metal Hawk Guy is a freak show, per se, but all of the people that are colorful in the fandom, they've all long since faded into the background.
Yeah.
Like all of the, you know, oh, I'm an Allsparker, oh, I'm a TFW guy, all of that stuff's gone.
Yeah.
All of the, you know, oh, I'm a Decepticon, I identify myself as Decepticons, all of that stuff's gone. This movie is unintentionally, I think, trying to bring... The movie, he's been working on it for 10 years. So it's, at this point, it's kind of passed him and everyone else by. It's not relevant anymore.
Yeah, it's... The modern fandom is more about fighting over third party versus first party at this point. Yeah. Like, I think that's the main source of any kind of argument.
The people that he's focusing on in the movie were much more... Mainstream's not the right word, but much more commonplace 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, this is pretty much 2000 movie.
This is, yeah. This
2000 fandom. Really.
So this really doesn't... Here comes Don, speaking of. Yeah, the movie itself is just... I don't think it's relevant anymore. And I hate to say that, but I don't know. It just... And I have to say, it's... And going into further levels of... criticism, and it's criticism, it's constructive criticism, it's probably highly sexualized and misogynistic. Whenever possible, he focuses on the chest or legs of women around him, and that's just creepy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The end of the movie, he focuses on his girlfriend, which was made in China. The beginning of the movie, he says he doesn't have a girlfriend. It's, that comes off a little...
Insensitive.
The worst thing in the whole movie, and during the screening, I was the only person laughing at this. We've all heard that cosplay does not equal consent. That what's been all over the internet. Mm-hmm. Cosplay does not equal consent. Well, one of the characters that is focused on in the movie is a guy who's in the cosplay, and he said that he, after doing cosplay, he gets 3 to 4 months worth of women. He has quantitized them as, you know, increments of use, not as human beings. And he said that a woman approached him and said,
here it comes.
Which button do I press to make love to you?
in the I died laughing. I died.
No, it was a joke.
It was awkward. It was. I know he was fully serious. It was awkward.
Like, guy, they're making fun of you. She's not serious.
I know. I laughed. I couldn't stop laughing, and it wasn't supposed to be funny.
And like, yeah, and the guy's like, really?
No, don't press that button. That ejects my balls.
Yeah. But and again, in all seriousness, I mean, these are criticisms of the film that I'm trying to present in a constructive way. I mean, there are some rough edits that probably could be fixed that need to be polished before the movie's actually done. Maybe this is the intent. Maybe David wants to present the movie this way. But again, in the production for 10 years, it's not exactly relevant in 2014. I just don't feel it. Maybe if he changes the bookends of the movie, makes it so that it focuses more on, I don't know. I don't know what he could do to fix it.
Well, even I think this story is kind of misleading because, like, in the several times throughout the video, he says, "I don't have a girlfriend. I don't have a girlfriend. I don't have a girlfriend." But the very end of the documentary was how he found a girl, you know, that shared a similar interest in him, so why not state that in the beginning of the film? Like, this is, you know, my obsession, you know, it was hard for me to find love, but I happen to still be able to find love through this thing that I'm obsessed about, or that I like, but I think he goes far beyond anything we've ever done in Transformers.
The title itself doesn't make any sense. Transform me into what? It doesn't change at all throughout the film.
I think it was a, let me come up with something clever. But that's about all he came, without much more thought. I mean,
had he finally realized that his collection has been obsessive and his living space is completely filled with boxes, and he starts to sell it all, that's him changing. That's a transformation. There's no transformation whatsoever.
The part that really gets me is like, okay, this is his, I don't want to say his life's work, but it's took him a decade to make.
He's been working on it for a decade.
Yeah, it's like he really wanted to make this movie. He's worked on it for 10 years. And then he makes a point to have, like, a good portion of the movie where people basically tell him how horrible he is.
Yeah. Which I think is interesting.
Well, it's like, and the thing is, there's no resolution to it either. It's just, it's like, here's my movie. I'm a burden on my parents. People think I'm sick. Women don't like me. Da da da. Transform me!
I mean, it's. Is it a request?
Yeah, did he feel like I need to add drama to this or something? I mean, like,
yeah, there's a part where he's actually sitting in a psychiatrist's chair
with someone who's a PhD in fandom obsession, which I thought was interesting.
I'm still to the point, like, okay, one, do you really want to make yourself look, like, I think that's my nearest point. Why can't you just make a movie about this without trying to make it look bad? Like, have some humility. It's like, this is what I do because I like it. It's like, I don't have a girlfriend. Well, you know what? It's not the hobby. It's you, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. We always hear this. People are like, well, you can't get it. It's like, no, it's you. That's right. I'm talking to you, Internet. It's not the hobby. It's you.
And we're not. The movie is salvageable. He could re-edit. He could reshoot a little bit of footage, and it would be totally usable. But it needs to be cut down more than in half, and all this extra footage, including the footage that I helped record in BotCon 2012. Mostly kidding. Needs to be put on as extra features. So, not hating on it, but I think there's something there. But I do think that it needs to be recut.
It really, considering it's mostly footage of BotCon, and he basically, I think, made framing devices for, like, okay, I made 10 years worth of con footage. What do I do with it? It could literally just be a documentary fandom, like, way people look at things, way people, and that's all that really has to be.
And he does have some people in there that are celebrities. The Seth Green part's okay. I think the Seth Green stuff works. The Spock stuff can just go.
That could be like the transition.
He said nothing of value whatsoever.
Well, that could be the transition with the random people he's talking to on the street. Yeah. Like, go from cons, whatever, like, say this guy, da-da-da, interviews with people, whatever. Transition period, like he's talking to Seth Green, talking to Spock, or random person. Hey, can you transform this? Yeah. He could really bang out a little 40-minute documentary, just like, look how great Transformer movies are. You know, this is my fandom. Not, hey guys,
I am the worst.
Yeah, it again focuses too much on David. I know it's your movie, dude, but it focuses too much on you. There's no transformation, and it's too long. And oh yeah, it's overly sexualized and misogynistic. Don, though, tell us what you liked about it.
sorry.
I've known
David longer than probably anybody else in here.
Yes, you have.
Yeah. And I'm really not going to say anything because I know how hard he's worked on this, and I hope that it, whatever the end result is what he was looking for. But I feel kind of biased because I've known him for so long.
And you're in it.
Right.
And for three seconds.
And you did say you enjoyed this.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was an interesting look at it, but again, I've known him for so long, and I feel like I'd be kind of biased, so I'm really not going to give an opinion. I will just say that I hope the final cut is something that's successful for him, and that the fans can find something to grab a hold to if they, you know, so they, and people that's not fans, something that they can say, hey, this is interesting, or whatever the case may be. And that's just my final sentence.
Okay, cool. Are we done with that one?
I don't know.
I thought so.
One thing that I noticed about the film that I didn't like was he always wore the same clothes.
It's always that Red Optimus shirt.
Red Optimus shirt. There was no progression. It felt like the time was always the same because he was always wearing the same exact thing. There was no progression.
That's a good point. And to go with what Don said, Brian and I both yesterday were like, yeah, I want to see that, because we're both like, he's been walking around with that.
I've been wanting to see this
years.
Bad.
Yeah, we wanted to see it, and we're kind of like, that's not what I wanted to see.
Yeah.
No.
Well, on the same point, Don's like, I've been watching him film this for so long. I'm biased. So I think maybe just the counterpoints are different.
So, third party today. That was the other big thing.
Yeah.
Who was satisfied with the presentation? Not that the presentation was bad, but I was expecting more.
I was underwhelmed.
I was up until the very end with the surprise reveal. I was a little underwhelmed, but
it's like, we didn't see anything we weren't expecting, really.
And there's so many third-party companies, and I'm using companies loosely because, in some cases, these companies are one person. So there's so much to cover, so little time, and so little of, I hate to say importance, but kind of importance.
Well, it's.
They did go through the slides very, very quickly. Yeah.
Which I had to.
There was a lot of stuff to cover in the 50 minutes they had.
There was a block of 45 minutes, and they had about 7 different companies. I didn't understand why.
Or more.
Three of which I'd never heard
well,
of.
Yeah. Also, some things would have like a million pictures and some of you. It's like, instead of rushing through the pictures, cut them out. I mean, how many times do we need to see them do this?
If the folks from TFCon, you know, do this, I understand they were pressed for time, but we still wound up with at least 15 minutes left before the next panel, and you know, they could have slowed down a little bit and let people digest what was going on, not slow to a crawl.
That KFC stop motion video didn't need to be there.
No. There's points where I'm like, what
completely
am I watching?
Completely unnecessary.
And the audio is too loud on it, so it was kind of
too long.
There's that point at the beginning when like all the Autobots are on the computer, and Wheelie and one of the tape combiner guys, or there's some exchange between them, and I can't tell you what was it about.
I can't.
Wheelie's like they're just moving hands, and he goes, walks away.
It didn't make any sense.
No. Yeah. The fight scene was neat.
I think it was.
Oh, they did a great job with that.
Yeah, I couldn't hear it.
But there should be no exposition.
Yeah.
It should have been a commercial. A 30-second commercial about one of their characters.
There was no story.
And the Wheelie wasn't their product, so it's like, you don't need to have it
was,
there.
It was a multi-company commercial.
Well, no, X-Trans Bots is FTC or TFC, whatever.
Yeah, a couple of them are the same company.
X-Trans
Bots is KFC.
It's like Ford and Mercury and Lincoln. Yeah. Same company, different brands.
You know, so it's just, you know, I think they could have slowed down a little bit and let people digest it. I'm a little disappointed with, we did see some stuff here, and I did not get a chance to go back into the room after the viewing was over, so I don't know what they've added personally, but we did see stuff in there colored that we had not seen before, plus we've seen stuff we've been expecting, like Fans Project Skullcruncher. We finally saw a great prototype of him,
and it looks nice.
That Skullcruncher is amazing. Yeah.
So we did see stuff that we knew was coming, but had not seen it. I personally did talk to one of the Mastermind Creation marketing people that was here with, I believe it was Renderform's booth, and he said that, for example, I asked about the Great Shot version of Hexatron, which is the one of the three that I've been looking for, because I have a Six Shot, I have a Shadow Maru, which are the two that they've done as Hexatron. I want the Great Shot, because I cannot afford a G1 Great Shot. I found out they are working on it, but it's not anything they can show yet. It's just they're working on getting it pulled together. So I learned some stuff. I saw some stuff that we knew was coming, but we saw some colors. The DX9 armor kit, it was great seeing that in color on the physical Evasion Mode Prime, which I think looks great.
The Mach-A Toys Protecto bots look amazing.
Yes, they do look really good. But I think the only thing I think we can all probably agree on, unless I'm wrong, is the final reveal that we couldn't take pictures of.
And cannot mention.
Yeah, we can.
Mention it.
Yeah, let's mention it.
Can we now? Yeah. Our description
has to be
awesome.
I'm sure it's
already all over the internet. Yeah, I mean, it's the Dino King.
Oh my god, it's going to be so expensive.
I mean, Dino King.
Yeah, so we are getting an actual Dino King.
Does it have Pretender shells?
No.
That would be. Are we sure? Because in the slide I saw, they had the one figure with a silhouette of the Triceratops shell around it.
You're right.
Okay,
I
did not see that. But
to me, it's not a dinosaur unless it has the dinosaur shell.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what makes it Dino King.
What if it had a Beast Wars-ish organic beast modes? Because, you know, no one remembers the Dino King robot, but they remember the little Pretender part. So what if they do, like, say, Revenge of the Fallen Bludgeon, where it looks like it's Pretender shell in robot mode? Would that be suitable then?
Well, no, because then they couldn't repaint it into Monstructor.
Well, fine.
Yeah, because Monstructor can use completely different shells.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but I am glad we are getting... I'm glad some of the people are looking at non... As much as I love G1 combiners, combiners... Dino King is a first step. Getting a new Road Caesar that doesn't stink would be nice.
Ooh,
getting
Lyo Kaiser
would be obviously. Nice. A Landcloth that wasn't Mr. Floppy Legs would also be nice. Well, he is. He just does this.
Yeah, he's either that or he goes to a...
Well, like he's like Superion. It's just... They just sort of just do... It's like Soundwave, and more than meets the eye, he just sort of leans forward and it's like, yeah. I'm a robot.
And I just want to get this point out there. So, I know this is just me. This is just me speaking. And I'll talk about how awesome TFCon's been, so, you know, next. But what I always love about BotCon is the official involvement and going and seeing the Hasbro panel, and I talk about this all the time, and seeing what's coming out for the next year or the next year and a half, the official product. And there's just always something special to it. Seeing the third-party panel, to me, is... I don't know. I guess I'm sort of lost in the past. To me, it's lifeless. I could care less. I'm going to buy none of it. Nothing was shown except for maybe the stuff that Trent's doing with the third-party, Battle Beasts. I'm not buying a single item. It's all too expensive. I buy so little third-party that it just means next to nothing to me. And I kind of felt bad. I almost felt like I was cheating on Hasbro sitting in that. I know, that's entirely me, but I still don't get the third-party stuff. And the most interesting thing of all, I know Aaron Archer doesn't work at Hasbro anymore, but, you know, when you work for a company for so long, you sort of you identify yourself with the company.
Yeah.
So I thought it was so interesting that he said, and I am quoting him, this is almost directly, he said... Transformers fans should embrace transforming toys wherever they find it. And of course, he's partnering on what is it? Take Two.
Yeah, Play With This Too.
Play With This Too, which is Trent Troop, Rick Alvarez, a couple other people.
Yeah.
Actually,
Hasbro boys.
Yeah, former Hasbro and Simon Furman.
Yeah.
So, I think it's interesting that they're able to get past the third party bias. That you know they would have had against it. One interesting thing, which I already knew this, but he did say, whenever third party stuff came up, they didn't really pay attention to it, and when they did, they would just submit it to legal, and legal never did a thing.
Yeah. Well, it's in that gray area still of that's really too small to be worth the money.
It's not, it doesn't make it gray. It makes it not worth the effort.
It's just like a whatever.
They're not infringing on their retail.
Yeah,
the U.S. stores.
They're not threatened.
Is yeah. I think the perfect way of putting it.
And not to mention, there is a point where it's like they're in where we can't touch them anyway. China. You know, they're China. They're not selling them in our turf. They're selling them to direct retail. I mean, to direct buyers, you know. It's one of those, it's like, this is really just fan-made stuff at a little bit larger scale. Now, if it's sitting in Walmart, then, you know, they're probably going to start up.
And he did, and he did say if Hasbro is doing, I think he said this, if Hasbro is doing what they need to be doing, third party wouldn't need to exist.
Yeah. And that's coming from the guy who used to run the brand.
He was the vice president of Transformers. That doesn't make him Hasbro. That doesn't make him Mr. Transformers. But I do pay attention to what he says. Mm-hmm. And speaking of, I think my favorite thing that he said, someone had asked him what he thought of the homicidal Optimus Prime that's featured in the movies. And he said, and I quote, "I find it unfortunate."
Wow.
I love that.
Yeah, that's neat.
Yes.
Yeah. But, so guys, in general, TFCon, what do you think? Thumbs up?
Thumbs up. It's a fan convention run by fans, purely by fans. So if we're unhappy, it's like, well, we're just unhappy.
How does it so how does it rate to BotCon? Guys who've been to BotCon, if you haven't, don't answer.
This is my first TFCon in the same year I've gone to BotCon, because usually the BotCon is my one vacation. I usually can't take more than one. I have enjoyed the camaraderie with everyone else here that would be kind of hard-pressed at BotCon, only because there's so much jam-packed at BotCon as a schedule, you kind of have to keep up with the schedule to catch all the stuff going on. This is a little more looser, not quite as much jammed in on each day, so you have more free time to hang out with your friends. I'm not saying that's good, or I'm not saying that's bad, I'm just saying it's a more laid-back convention. There's not as much to do officially, I think, at the con, but you have more time to hang with your friends, go to parties, whatever the case may be.
So, Rob, what about you?
I'm not going to slam BotCon at all, because, you know, I still think well of them. I've grown over the recent years to prefer the unofficial ones, mainly because, I mean, Don, you can remember this with me, and Kilby, years ago, when BotCon was merely
BotCon.
The convention, yeah, it was BotCon, and it had Hasbro's up. We have a bug in the room, camera, and it's flying around our heads. That's what we're doing back here. But back when it was, you know, basically endorsed by Hasbro, and when it started becoming officially endorsed by Hasbro as a licensee, but Hasbro didn't run it so much, it was still a fan convention. We just had their seal of approval.
Yeah.
And then pretty much right before the movies, FunPub, I'm not even going to make them a bad guy in this situation either, because
they're not.
They're not a bad guy.
FunPub is not the bad guy.
Yeah, they're doing what they're told. They bought into it, and they have to do what they bought into. The fact that that's when it became more and more corporate, because you go there now, you're like, I'm at Walmart. I'm at a store. I'm buying these toys, and I'm going to the things put on for me. I mean, I'm not saying there's not a fan element, because you make it your own, really, who you hang out with, what you do, and all that. But these, it's got that old atmosphere. The reason I liked it so much is like,
You're saying that BotCon's more structured.
It's more structured, and like, it used to be the family reunion once a year. You know, now
it still is. That's why I go.
Yeah, but this, I guess, just is more familiar.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah, I think these unofficial ones are more familiar to me for it. And TFCon's the biggest of them.
So okay, so how does it rate to Shardicon?
Shardicon is, and this is not against TFCon, Shardicon took such a space to my heart, it's right under it.
In my mind, it's basically Shardicon, but bigger.
Shardicon is my favorite con I've ever been to.
Really?
Yes.
Man,
interactions with you guys, the convention, I love the convention itself, the guys who ran it, I loved everything about it. The hotel, everything. This is Shardicon on a bigger level, because basically they had the same idea. Let's do something for the fans, and let's do it right. Everything was done because we're fans of putting it on, you know, everything.
Oh, they're fans. I mean, the thing is, Diecast thought that this was a convention ran by somebody like FunPub, which on the surface you would totally think that.
They do a totally legit job running it. It's not like Xerox copied badges or stuff. It looks.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's nice. Would I like to have a badge that has my name on it? Sure, but, you know, I paid $50 to get in.
I'm not even worried about that. It's the little
3 days. Remember, it's 3 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what are you going to do with the badge when you're done with it? It's probably just going to get thrown in a drawer or thrown out.
Well, I hang mine on the wall.
I don't know about you guys, but mine totally has my name on it.
So, yeah, I think they've done a phenomenal job, and it's incredibly well organized. I've never been. I wasn't crazy about this venue when it was used for OTFCC. Yeah. I found it kind of stuffy.
It's odd. It's too big for. We have to go under a con between a con to get to our con.
But the thing is, but the space, like it's the nice. Dealer room, is packed as can be. I don't think I've been in a dealer room that is so jam packed. It's a good problem to have, but I would like to have more space.
The funny part is, everyone's been like, that's the hot area. This is the cool area.
Yeah,
because the way the air flows, been restricted.
I think everything else is perfect, but it's the
great con.
Yeah, but the dealer room is a little packed.
I think also for this hotel. I'm just going to say, personally, I hope that no one else uses this hotel again, unless it's a make-or-break point as far as the cost involved, because I seem to remember this hotel being better in 2003 than it is now. I'm not trying to be overly critical, but I think all of us have had issues with the hotel.
We're also older, and we probably, most of us, make more money than we did, except for Rob. Rob makes less money, I bet.
I totally disagree. I think the hotel's great.
I think this
hotel was great selection. It's got plenty of size. It's very lively.
Congrats, by the way. You had that awesome job back in the day.
I think my job now is pretty awesome.
Rob used to make bank. He's like a chameleonaire.
Let me tell you, son, I have thousands and thousands of them.
Actually, that reminds me. While we're doing this,
give me some more thousands.
Look at me.
No, hold on.
That's all.
Hold it like this. Swag it. No, you've got sleeves on.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. That's an inside joke. So, I don't have anything else. Anybody else?
Artist, I pooped my pants!
Artist Alley is awesome.
Oh, yeah, I didn't go.
I really liked the
third-party
displays.
Yeah, that was nice.
I like that room. And not to mention...
There's more stuff in there now after the third-party panel. I haven't even checked that out yet.
It's really, that's tomorrow.
There's one thing I want to
There's just one dealer, actually in the cool section where all the air conditioning is. He made a point to have display boxes with all his toys dramatically displayed, and then underneath it's the stock. To me, I'm like, am
Chosen
I
Prime?
Is that his name?
Okay. Chosen Prime. Yeah.
Thank you. The black with the glass. And I'm like, am I at a department store? This is really nice.
Yes.
Yeah. This is
it's all IKEA furniture.
Yeah, exactly. Detolfs.
One thing I want to say, Brian, is the lady doing the panels, she was quick, she was funny, she took no guff, and she stopped the drive-through questions for the voice actors.
Well, she has experience. She's really good at it.
Right. Yeah. So I'm saying a big shout out. I wish I could remember her name. I'm old and
her screen name's Oasis, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, she ran a tight ship on the question and answer panel with Mr. Gilvezan and Mr. Oppenheimer, and just kudos to her for running a tight Q&A.
Awesome. Okay, great. So, I don't think I have anything else, guys. Anybody?
I'd like to thank the fly in her room.
I was surprised there was no Q&A.
The ladybug? Third-party
companies. They showed us slides and they just like, okay, we're done.
So, there are some third-party. There's some third-party pokes here.
So, welcome to Farty City.
There's some third party folks here, but I don't think they necessarily want to be
questioned
or have their identities shown.
One of the gentlemen, nice as hell, the one with the Metroplex, what's his name again? Utopia?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was letting us play with the Utopia. And I was like taking pictures of it. Do you mind if I get a picture of you with it? He goes, no, I can't let you do it.
Yeah.
Wow.
But okay,
if anyone's on the fence about Utopia, it feels like a nice, solid figure. Again, I'm just saying. I held it. I looked at it. It's a pretty figure in person. So.
The problem with one of the problems with third party is you can feel they're unofficial, like small company made toys.
Yeah, right.
Because you're not buying it for quality. You're buying because finally I have a figure.
Well, you are buying it for quality too.
Well, not at these points now, but you get what I'm saying. It's.
If you're not buying it for quality, you're buying it like that crap we got on clearance.
Yeah, it's like, I bought this because it's something I...
Who was it? We got those $10 figures.
The Impossible Toy Computer.
Yeah, they're crap.
They're crap, but at the same time, it's like, it's $10, it's a G1 Wasp.
They don't exist anymore.
It's like, I'm happy because I've wanted a representation of this. But with this one, it's like, this thing felt super solid, like,
yeah,
Cybertron era toy. When you could throw a transformer off the top of the thing and just bounce, you go back and get it, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was a solid, nice figure.
Did it have a similar feel to that Warden figure? If you've held,
Warden's great.
I want to hold Warden because I want to own a Warden.
Oh, and then there was
someone send me one.
And then there was the surprise Brave Max, mini Brave Max that no one knew was here.
That's a nice toy, didn't you buy one?
That is really nice.
Was it Brave Max or Grand Max?
And also fans project did their
Kubar,
which in Diaclone colors, which again is like they did with the Columpio with the packet.
Oh, and actually seeing Columpio and the fans project Dinobots, they're great. They are great. I didn't think they would be.
I have to buy those now.
When I saw them online, I was like, yeah, those are cool. But seeing the Diaclone versions, I was like...
Right here.
What? Yeah, show this. I want this to be the regular version and the non-Diaclone to be the Spectre. Yeah. Because that's what I would want.
I was kind of surprised at the size of them. They don't...
They are way bigger than I expected.
Yeah, the picture doesn't convey the size.
They feel so nice.
It's like,
I want to marry you.
The Diaclone one should be the
right. It's got sharp points.
That would sell gangbusters.
Ow! I don't have Ebola.
Yet.
Nah, he's got me cold.
Wait till the eventual G2 colors.
Remember,
oh,
kids,
God.
Don't buy your third-party toys loose. Buy them still in box or you'll get Ebola.
Now, what? Well, yeah.
I love the pilots.
Make sure you watch them in the bed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Their little guys are fun.
In that box, everything, it just comes, it's like, this is a total package.
Yeah.
My baby.
I'm not going to thumb against the wall and shout in glee.
I thought I heard him say thumb against the wall and shout in glee, and I was like, what's going on back there?
Yeah. Okay, well, guys, I think that's it.
Radio Free Cybertron will return after these messages.
It's Fortress Maximus.
Fortress Maximus!
The colossal Headmaster Autobot City.
Look! The Terracons are attacking!
Transform Fortress Maximus!
Headmaster Transformers!
From city to battle station!
Form a swarm and meets the eye!
Terracons, form above us and destroy Fortress Maximus!
But Fortress Maximus transforms again, this time into a robot so humongous a separate robot becomes its head!
Its power's awesome!
The Transformers!
From Hasbro.
Radio Free Cybertron has teamed up with Kokomo Toys and Collectibles in Kokomo, Indiana. If you're in the Kokomo area, visit our store for a huge selection of new and classic toys. Visit online at www.kokomotoys.com for our address and store hours. While you're there, check out our listing of pre-order items, as well as visit our eBay store. Visit us at www.kokomotoys.com. That's KOKOMOTOYS.com. We're also on Facebook. We now return to Radio Free Cybertron.
We are back. I want to clarify. I want to make sure that this comes across in respect to David's movie, Transform Me. I think it's salvageable. And I know that David has been working on this for more than a decade. And he wants this to be perfect. So my constructive criticism is to trim it down. Possibly reshoot some of the bookends.
Framing device, yeah.
Yeah, the framing device. Maybe have somebody else edit it, someone who's not invested in the material.
I would second this without even having seen it, because self-editing basically isn't editing.
Yeah, exactly. Self-editing is not editing. Trim down most of the David stuff. Make it about the people that are being presented in the movie. And show actual transformation. Most of the people shown in the movie, again, as I said, don't really transform. They're in the same sad lot that they were in at the beginning.
Yep.
So some growth is needed. Or change the message and show how people aren't transformed and how they're static and stagnant. There's that too. Figure out, you know, what You basically went in with a specific point of view that you want to show. You want to show the development. What you've actually filmed doesn't present that. Then basically change the framing device to relay what is actually presented by the individual stories. It's got potential.
and I know you want to knock this out of the park. You've been working on it for 10 years. Tweak it, change it, transform it, and...
transform it big time.
Transform it, and I think it will be good, and trim it down by about in half. But leave in the part about which button do I press to make love to you. That was hilarious. Hilarious. That was my favorite part. But I think, in all seriousness, I do think there's potential. Just have someone else edit that. Maybe rewrite some of it. Anybody else want to share? Go ahead.
But the dispassionate second party editing would probably be the best thing to start with.
Yeah.
I just want to say, I was actually shocked. This was, for me, the worst part of TFCon. I don't know why the organizers of TFCon, because they did a great job.
Constructive.
I will be.
Be honest. You can be honest. I mean, it's his opinion, mine.
I know, you can be honest, but I mean, this is something that somebody's put a lot of work in. Let's try to be constructive and not just drag on it.
This is someone's life work.
Right, I understand
right.
that.
That's why
I'm saying,
it's constructive. You know, let's not rag on it.
I think it's constructive to say how it made me feel, and maybe that'll lead to some editing on it. Because honestly, like I was saying, I don't know why someone at TFCon didn't, you know, do a pre-screening of this to see if it fit the criteria.
Maybe they did.
To be shown at TFCon, because it made me feel really bad about myself.
So keep in mind, this has been something that David has been working on for years.
Yeah.
People have known about this for years. The fact that this was going to be shown is perfect, is a perfect lure for the people who come to TFCon, because TFCon is not just a Transformers convention. It's a Transformers convention for hardcore fans. So hardcore fans already knew about this, and they wanted to see it.
Right.
And Don's in it. So,
but
for 3 seconds,
he was so obsessive about the collection, and I didn't understand what it was about, because at there was 3 things in it. There was basically, you know, the story of David, the title Transform Me, which I don't know what got transformed. At one point, there was a psychiatrist in the video that David was talking to, but David didn't change at all. The only thing that actually came out of it at towards the end was that he actually found a wife through his hobby.
Girlfriend? Yeah.
Sorry. Which was a positive thing.
Which the movie started saying that he didn't have a girlfriend. It ended with him having a girlfriend, and it was a funny joke. We waited an hour and a half for the payoff.
And then basically he said, my girlfriend's made in China just like my toys, which was kind of that may need to get edited out.
And all the breast shots and all the leg shots.
Up the leg and
the, like, objectification of women. It's a little...
I mean, he had 2 girls that he did not know go into his condo or apartment or whatever, and everything was Transformers. There was no room to walk. He had Transformer sheets with a bed laying on the ground, and, you know, it was almost like it was the worst possible representation of the fandom. Maybe not the worst, but one of the worst representations of the fandom that you can... I felt really bad about myself when I left that convention, and I did not want to go into a dealer room and spend money. I almost wanted to go home and burn my whole Transformers collection.
Okay, so my harshest criticism of the film, and this is semi-constructive, it's not really constructive. I think it took so long to make that it's no longer relevant. The fans that he's focusing on, the fandom's moved on from that phase in our history. It's almost now a relic of where we were 10, 15, 20 years ago. Now fans are more like Diecast and Melvar, less like me, Don, and XV. So the Dons and the Bryans and the XVs of the world, they get it. They live that. But, you know, fans who are normal...
I mean, you know, it's kind of funny. We actually have had... The fandom has transformed in the time it's taken to make this movie. Because a lot more of the fandom is, you know, professional and, you know, family oriented, and it's not, you know, like you said, you, me, and Don kind of represent a fixed point, and the fandom's kind of moving on to something beyond that. The fandom has transformed, and, you know, I haven't seen the movie, but if you could do it in such, if you could make this work to represent that, the shift from what the fandom was 10 years ago to what it is now, Transform Me could still be a relevant message.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, yeah.
Absolutely. Of course, it'll take another 5 years of filming to get that through.
Possibly. Right, but the message will still stay relevant because this is an ongoing process.
True. But I...
Melvar, what did you think?
I think I said pretty much everything I had to say during the pre-recorded content.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to rag on the guy. I really don't.
I don't want to
rag on
him.
Because I know he worked hard on this.
But also, it's just like work or anything else. You want honest feedback to get better.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry if I come off rude, but that is my honest feedback on the video. You know, I don't think it needs a little bit of editing. I think it needs a lot of editing.
Haters gonna hate.
I really want him to focus on one story. And, you know, have a start, a middle, and an end.
I think focusing on several fans is fine, but you don't want to focus on Mr. Optimus Prime. I mean, he's not one of the guys that I would necessarily focus on.
No.
I mean, I don't...
No. So let's just leave it at that for that particular... No, I mean, you can focus on a number of people and still have a cohesive story that you tell throughout it. Documentaries do that all the time. Documentaries don't always just focus on one individual or one specific group.
You can
jump around.
So somebody I would focus on, and I'm not joking when I say this, Walkie. Like, think of Walkie. When Walkie first joined the fandom, he was this young kid. He pretty much sat around on IRC all day, and he ended up going to college drawing comics about nerds who like robots. And now he makes his living, you know, with a wife and a whole slew of fans that he actually has gone through a transformation. I mean, heck, not that I want to be in it, but I've gone through a transformation. I was doing this stupid podcast thing back in 1999, and I've been able to hone skills and actually use this experience to get work. And I have a pretty successful career right now, and a lot of it's because of the work that I did doing this podcast. It's not necessarily my work now doesn't tie directly to it, but it opened doors to me to get to where I am now. There's all sorts of examples of people who, through Transformers in some respect, have been able to grow and evolve. And it's not really presented in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I mean, I think that's our like underlying point. There is the story to tell that represents what the original message was, but it may not be coming through in how the editing has been chosen to be done, and it needs more hands in it probably to make sure the original point still comes across.
Exactly. I agree. Okay. Anything else, guys? Good gracious.
I had something before, but I kind of lost it in all this.
Long show. Hopefully people will hang around. My gosh, it's a long show. It's been such a long time. God, I want to fit in Boston whenever I can. I love Boston. It's the greatest band ever. It really is.
Well, I'll just say it was great to meet all the fans. And if you message, I don't know about y'all, but if you message me on Facebook or if you message me and I don't remember, it's nothing personal. It's just I'm old. and in between dodging cat attacks on my ankles to get to the keyboard, I may forget from being, you know, shell shocked. But
I really enjoyed. I don't want to understate how nice it was to actually finally meet Dan and Nick. We hung out the entire time, and those guys are great. Thanks for putting up with me. And again, apologies to Kim. She's already told me this was the worst vacation she's ever had, and I owe her 10 vacations. So,
RFC Cruise. Kim is such a good sport.
I guess she won't be tagging along to BotCon next year.
Oh, she's TBD. I think she wants the vacation. She wants to get out, but we just have to figure out what we're doing. I've actually got my room booked for 5 days.
But hey, you know, if it helps the selling point, you can remind her that I'm just as likely to, you know, jab at you as she is. So.
She really likes you.
Oh,
so
thank you.
She wants to see you. She missed you.
Cool.
Yeah.
Kim was a lot of fun at CharterCon.
Kim's a lot of fun in general, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice having somebody else that will just give you crap nonstop and, all the time for the entertainment of everybody around.
And she's type A, so whenever something needs to get done, I throw Kim at it, and it gets done. It's really good.
Yeah, we pretty much all followed her around Chicago, yeah, so.
She led
the charge.
That's
really terrible when you put that like that, though.
It's okay. But we had a blast, so. Okay, so that'll do it. We'll be back next week. Thanks.
It was so long.
If someone's still around,
you think you skip over all that pre-recorded TFCon stuff?
Yeah, it was mostly that's your one chance to get Rob Springer in this episode.
Oh well, you better watch it then.
Yeah, that was my setup. I mentioned this. That setup was not my best work. I figured that I wouldn't need like my mics and everything, and that I could just get it with my Zoom H4n. I had to do quite a bit of cleaning up to get that to come out as well as it did.
Well,
I bought that camera that I used to take everything, all the footage with, and it worked pretty well for the footage in the con, but footage in Don's and Melvar's and Diecast room didn't come out that great.
We had like no lighting either.
Yeah,
that's kind of the thing too. If you plan to do like real, like video shooting on location, you need to bring some light.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that one fluorescent light on the desk really wasn't.
Yeah, hotel rooms don't have enough light.
Yeah,
so.
No.
So yeah, it's not like normally at a convention I have that big box of stuff that I brought with me. I didn't bring it this time.
Although for
that's
my next
there was a room in the car.
For my next trip, I can probably bring a big box of stuff like that.
I wouldn't have brought it anyway. If there was more room in the car, I wouldn't have brought it. I carrying that crap around each year is just kind of a pain in the butt. But BotCon, I may change my tune. And
well, in BotCon, we can probably collaborate on bringing crap also. So
yeah, pretty exciting.
Or maybe even split a table, possibly.
I don't think we want a table.
I kind of felt bad. So the Shattered Cast guys had a table, and I'm like, haha. You know, that's something that you kind of learn that you don't want to do. But then I'm like, oh, well, they're actually selling stuff and they're having fun. I kind of want a table again. I'm like, Rob, why didn't we get a table? He's like, it was a bad idea, dude. Don't want a table.
And like the table at CharterCon was kind of fun because it was a completely different context.
And we felt okay walking away from that.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't, like, have stuff there that...
Yeah, we weren't selling stuff.
But walking away from a table at BotCon,
yeah, you
don't want to do that.
No, you don't.
Especially because the people beside Avis got pissed off. Because we were the buffer from, like, shoplifters on the side of their booth. Yeah.
Oh, Brian, one thing I wanted to mention. I know we're wrapping up, sorry.
That's okay. I'm just rambling at this point.
Yeah. The Collectors Club sent out an email. The last of the subscription service 2.0 figures are
their
store. Rewind, Chrome Dome, and Treadshot. Now, this was as of around 4 o'clock this afternoon. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know what is left. But
they're not going to sell Eject?
No, Eject was only available to subscribers
to the subscription.
Yeah.
Oh, so they're not okay.
No,
there are no extras.
Okay. There are no extras. Rewind is up for $49, which, I mean, for a club thing is not terrible. Not terrible, but...
For that toy, $49.
It's a club thing, though, I mean, you know.
I love that toy.
It's a nice toy, and that's, you know, about two-thirds of what I spent on the original release.
For both?
Yeah, for both.
Yeah. Now, I will say, of what's up, the Treadshot is the most tempting, but
Treadshot.
Treadshot is awesome.
You can probably do without at that price, though.
I love it. If I were you,
I would go on eBay and look for a better deal.
It's probably my favorite toy from
the and Treadshot's the only one of those figures that I bought, and basically, like, I don't feel the club value in it. I paid about 50 and a little bit of shipping for it, and it does. It feels like a retail recolor.
It is a retail recolor that we spent $50 on, but it's a very nice retail recolor.
It is. It's something I really wanted, and that's why I kept up that pre-order. But it's just like, you know, the stuff I got at BotCon 2012 and other BotCon things I've picked up in the interim, just they feel more, you know, premium.
And before
for want of a better word.
Before we finally wrap up, I do want to ask, the subscription service 3.0, I know they extended it. Did that finally end?
Yeah.
Oh, it ended ended a while ago.
Okay. Because I know they extended it.
They only extended it for a short time.
Okay.
Yeah, for a couple days for paychecks to clear.
Let me check.
That was like at the beginning of the month, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The extension?
Let me see. Serpentor R.
Serpentor is sold out at like Big Bad that I saw, and
yeah, I'll be. That's the only one I will actually.
Rock was sold out.
No, it's not sold out.
Added, expensive though.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything had been sold out at one point, but then I guess they got the okay to list more. So, okay.
But like Rewind for $49 on the club site's probably better than you're going to do anywhere else. Since Rewind's, you know, representing a popular IDW character.
Yeah, you can get that for about the same on eBay.
Okay.
Because I looked. That's where I got my Rewind and Eject.
And before I press the button and end the show, I'm looking at Big Bad right now. And they have the Toy World, not Astrotrine, right beside of the DX9, not Astrotrine, on the front page. That's highly unfair.
Poor Toy World.
I mean, at least put them like on different rows and not in a, you know, joint column.
Oh, speaking of Toy World, I just thought of this, Brian. I'm sorry. I saw their not gold bug for the Throttlebot.
Oh yeah,
not combiner. Their Cliff Jumper is going to have a different head, but we don't know if the Cliff Jumper should be able to combine and replace Gold Bug in the Gestalt.
I forgot that was a thing.
But
I know, right?
But Toy World, TF sources who I talked to, they don't have all the information yet. They got the production samples in, but if you like the Toy World design, but really don't want the whole set, we are getting a Cliff Jumper with a different face,
cool,
and a slightly retooled body from the Gold Bug.
And just one more thing before I press the button, I do realize,
are we
and hopefully,
ever gonna end?
Hopefully you guys do too, that nobody is listening at this point. Everyone stopped at the end of the TF Con segment. So, puppies.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TF Radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you.
Transformers, it's better than crack.